It is not surprising that outlining and planning the residency program curriculum is one of the core responsibilities of the program director. In this episode, Dr. Karen Studer, program director at Loma Linda University, shares her insights into the planning process and some helpful practices for outlining and developing an enriching resident academic experience.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, Drew. It's a real honor to be here. My name is Karen Studer, and I was really lucky in that I found preventive medicine as a specialty as a first-year medical student. I went to medical school at Loma Linda University, and as a first-year medical student, found the specialty of preventive medicine, and I ended up staying at Loma Linda for residency and then have been there ever since as faculty.
So kind of in your experience, coming into this role of a residency director, what is your overarching goal as you're training residents? Beyond just specific requirements laid out by ACGME, what are the kind of broader skills and perspective that you want to prepare them with as they go on into their careers?
That's such a great question, and it's so broad in preventive medicine that we have to cover a lot of bases in our residency programs. But I think it's often helpful for programs to think about what is unique about their program. And the one unique thing about Loma Linda is that we're really involved in clinical preventive medicine and lifestyle medicine. So we've taken that niche and really utilized that to provide a lot of clinical and lifestyle medicine experiences for our residents. And that's in addition to all of the things that you have to learn as a preventive medicine resident. So we have a really robust county experience, infectious diseases, and things like that, in addition to what I think is our niche.
I know you kind of started, I guess, in an academic role fairly early in your career, but for a residency director who might be transitioning from a much more clinical-facing role or a role in public health that they're kind of new to the academic world and that kind of side of administration and working as a program director, what do you think are some of the biggest learning curves that they'll need to overcome and adapt to be really successful?
That's a really good question, too. The biggest learning curve from someone who's not from academic medicine might be the ACGME requirements, the whole world of milestones and reporting, and all of the meeting requirements like the CCC and the PEC and things like that, or to get used to all of those acronyms and really knowing what's required and what you need to report on and what you need to be mindful of when you create your program.
And spinning off that, have you found that there's any like helpful resources as you are stepping into the role to kind of catch you up on that big series of acronyms and accrediting bodies and requirements? Or is that something that's more learned through experience?
I definitely think the listserv is a huge resource that I love. And everyone on the listserv for program directors is so kind and generous in sharing their knowledge and expertise. And so that is one really, really great resource. I know ACPM had a special website for program directors with a lot of different materials that was also super helpful. And I know I utilized that early on quite a bit. And just knowing people in a similar position to yours, you could reach out on an individual level and share resources. And we're really happy to share across the programs.
So in your day-to-day, how much of your time do you think you spend kind of planning the curriculum and arranging rotations and coursework versus being more in a direct educator role yourself?
Yes, I think I have a dream job and my dream mix of work. Ever since I started here at Loma Linda, I feel very blessed. So at first I was a little more into clinical work and I did 3 days a week of clinic. And then when I became program director, I cut down to 1 day a week. And that has been a real blessing because that gives me a little bit more time to work on the program. Preventive medicine has a lot more requirements and funding challenges than other residency programs. So I do spend quite a bit of my time on running the program, having meetings, meeting with our rotation sites. I have some funded rotation sites that I meet with quite regularly to make sure things are going well. And just problem solve as things come up. So I would definitely say that between 30 to 50% of my time is spent on the program, thinking about curriculum development, meeting all the requirements, meeting with stakeholders and things like that. So it's definitely a big part of the position.
And as you're working on this curriculum planning or seeking partners to work with on rotations and the like, who are some of those key stakeholders, both, I guess, within Loma Linda University at ACGME or that, you know, are involved in the rotation sites that you interact with as residents are going through the rotations?
We're very lucky here at Loma Linda to have a GME office that is very supportive. So having a really great working relationship with your DIO is really helpful. And they
Can you back up and explain what a DIO is? Sorry.
Yes, sure. The designated institutional officer or DIO of your institution if you're affiliated with an academic university. So okay. That person basically oversees all of the residency programs. And so having a really great working relationship with your DIO is invaluable. So he's, in our case, he's been very supportive. He helped me get our MPH funded, which is another challenge for a lot of programs. And he really understands our program. So I work very closely with him. So he's a major stakeholder. Your county health department health officer is another major stakeholder because every program is required to have a county rotation or a similar government rotation. So I work very closely with two counties here in Southern California that our residents rotate at. And then I would say if you have, of course, other staff, your program coordinator is key. And I have an associate program director that has been with our program for about 20 years, has a lot of institutional history, and she is my master scheduler. So those are the key people that I interact with. And then I would say also my department chair.
And you mentioned kind of the coordination with the MPH program. How closely integrated are kind of the residency, the more clinical physician-focused rotations are to the curriculum of the MPH program? Like, do you as a residency director have a lot of input into that development, or is that more handled by the School of Public Health and you're involved in more kind of planning in between the gaps so that the programs fit together?
We are so lucky here at Loma Linda. Again, I feel almost so blessed that I don't want to make other people feel bad if they don't have the same setup. But we're very lucky in that we have the same faculty in our MPH program that we designed specifically for residents and other health professionals, so that my associate program director is also the program director of the MPH in population medicine, which is the major that all of our residents take. So we overlap quite a bit with all of our outcomes, all of our even milestones are incorporated into the coursework. So we are integrated with each other. And I know that's not the case for all of the other programs, but here it's a seamless almost integration that we, of course, had to work on over the past several years, but it's been a real blessing.
And so in a typical year, what does the planning process look like? You know, when do you start planning rotations? How frequently do they change for the residents? Is this something that you're, you know, when the academic year starts in June that you're pretty set with, or, you know, can you integrate new rotation opportunities as they arise through the year?
We have a set curriculum. We are in the current planning process and it's February. So we currently have a basic outline for every resident coming to us in July. So we have all of the key dates already filled in the key rotations, and then we fill in the more specific things like when someone takes a vacation or wants to go to a conference. We fill that in as we get a little bit closer, but we tend to plan everything very far in advance to fit all the puzzle pieces together. And like I said, my associate program director, Dr. Lori Wilbur, is the master scheduler and loves puzzles and putting this together. And so she plans quite a bit ahead. And we do have to make adjustments for last minute things, opportunities that may arise or may not be available because of COVID. This happened to us in the last few years. One of our major rotation sites ended up doing everything remotely and didn't think they could accommodate residents. So we haven't been there in about almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
We do plan on going back in the fall. So we have been meeting on a monthly basis to try to get that rotation back. But again, things always arise that you don't anticipate. So you just need to pivot and rethink things as they come.
So that's kind of follows into the next question I had, which is that do the rotations change year to year? And obviously you said with the COVID situation, they have changed quite a bit. But is that something that happens more typically where the rotation mix changes every couple of years, just depending on the agreements that you have with the rotation sites? I know you said that you know in the county health departments, that's a fairly fixed rotation, that's a core requirement. But do the other rotations the residents go through change year to year, or is it a relatively, once they're kind of established, they're fairly established?
I like to keep things fairly consistent and established, and we are a fairly stable program because we don't rely on grants for our funding. We are fully funded by our Jamie office, and we supplement with contracts with other entities such as the county and other rotation sites. So we do try to keep things stable. The VA is a really big part of our training as well, and they do pay for the residents. So that has always been a very big part of our program and very stable. But when other opportunities arise, we do try to incorporate them. For example, one of our clinics has a clinical trial and really was excited to have the residents involved. So we have incorporated that opportunity on an elective basis starting in July. So we try to accommodate when really cool things happen and are available, but we do at the same time try to have a base curriculum that's pretty stable.
Okay. And on the subject of developing whole new curriculum, I know there's recently been the HRSA maternal health track opportunity that's come up. And that's been something that you've really worked to develop soup to nuts in the last year or so. And I believe this is the first year that you're accepting residents for that track, right?
Yes, that's correct. We were recently awarded a major grant in maternal health, and we developed a whole new track just for the maternal health residents that we hope to recruit. We hope to have our first one start in July, and we did have to develop a whole new curriculum for that. And we have piloted and started a lot of new clinics surrounding maternal health, as well as working with our county department to really focus their rotation experience on maternal health.
And could you walk us through kind of what that process of planning the whole new curriculum has been? Kind of when did it start? Does it start when you hear about the grants, or did you have some ideas around what this could be beforehand, and really kind of step by step to get to where you are today, where you have it, the track mostly planned out, and you're ready for residents to start in the summer?
Yes, it was a really exciting, creative process in the beginning when I read the HRSA grant funding opportunity. When you read through that, you kind of get ideas of how you could incorporate that into your program. And so my mind started thinking and turning and coming up with different ideas as I was reading through it multiple times and thinking how I could incorporate really neat things. And then I talked to people who are already experts in the field of maternal health. I had a really great OB-GYN physician here at Loma Linda who is an expert in maternal mortality. And so I talked to her and just to get some more ideas about how she thought we could help decrease maternal mortality. So a lot of brainstorming and talking to other experts. And then I really used the HRSA priorities, the areas of that they are really wanting to focus in on, such as substance use and HIV. So we incorporated those new clinics into our grant, and now that's available for my other residents to rotate in addition to the maternal health residents.
Awesome. So this has all been super informative and helpful to kind of get, I guess, like kind of this bird's eye idea of what goes into the planning process as curriculum is developed and you're you know, preparing to welcome residents at the start of the academic year. So thank you so much for the time on this. Is there anything else that you'd want to share to a new program director, either taking on an existing program similar to your experience, or one who's looking to start a program themselves at a new institution, that, you know, things that you found helpful in your career so far, or that maybe you wish you had known as you were starting off?
I think the most important thing in curriculum development is to keep the outcome in mind first, instead of focusing in on the details first. So, for example, in the HRSA grant, the big picture item was reducing maternal mortality. And so looking at that and thinking backwards to, okay, what activities can the residents do to engage and to meet this outcome? And then from there, look back even further about what objectives you need to meet those and how you can incorporate that. So kind of looking at your outcomes first and then going from there.
Awesome. Thank you. So that's all the questions I have, but thank you so much for the time today, Dr. Studer. Really appreciate it.
You're so welcome, Drew. Thank you so much for having me. And if anyone wants to reach out, I'm happy to answer any additional questions or meet with any other program directors.